can't believe I won.
And you still got people out there with double masks and face shields and shit. Look into it.
You can tell it's real because it looks so fake.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Look Into It. Tonight is a special episode. My favorite podcast host from X22 Report, Mr. Dave. He goes by Dave, you know, for security reasons, I'm sure. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm doing great.
Hey, man, it's crazy to hear your voice because I hear your voice every day. Your podcast is the podcast that I listen to the most, hands down. Nothing's even close, not even JRE or anything else. I absolutely love the work that you're doing. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy world. But for my audience members that don't know who you are, give me a little background on what your mission is and what you're doing with X22 Report.
Yeah, I'll start from the beginning. I came into it because I worked in New York, and there was the financial crisis in 2008, 2009. And I just wanted to get things off my chest, the things that I was looking at. And I said, okay, I'm going to start listening to other people and see what's out there. And in 2013, I decided, you know something, let me start getting everything off my chest. So a couple years went by, and I said, I'm just going to get all this information that I have off my chest. And I really didn't expect it to grow or do anything. I was just going to have a small little podcast. I didn't even know what a podcast was back then. It was just a MP3 file on a ridiculous little website that I created. And I put it up there. And I thought, hey, I'll do it for like a week or two, and that'll be it. And then people started to listen to me. And then I heard about YouTube. And then I heard about Twitter. And it just expanded from there. And I decided that what I was going to do is I was going to counter everything the fake news was saying. I was going to look through documentation, find what they were saying, see if it was propaganda, and just counter everything. And this was in the time when Obama was president. So Trump wasn't even on the scene. And I started to see things and where we were headed. And I was getting a little nervous and worried. And I saw what part of their plan was. So I was trying to get the word out there. And I was hoping people would start to, you know, wake up and start to question things that were going on. And that's how it all started. And then when Trump came on the scene, everything started to change. And I just kept continuing pushing the counteroffensive against the fake news, because everything that they push out there, a lot of it is propaganda. A lot of it doesn't even make sense. And when you start to dig into what they're talking about, it really doesn't make any sense. And that's my whole mission. That's everything that I've been doing. And I'll keep doing it as long as people listen. And once people stop listening, I guess I'm done.
Don't stop, man. Don't stop. I look forward to your podcast every day. Every day I listen to it. It's it's hopium, because you have such a positive outlook on the battle between the Great Awakening and the Great Reset. Like, damn, who's going to win? Some days I think, damn, you know, Great Reset's winning. When you hear that Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland and China's buying up everything, you're like, oh man, they got us distracted with this. So they're, you know, so it's every day is different. Then I hear your podcast and you're so positive with, the counter to the New World Order, that, man, dude, your podcast got me through the dark times of the lockdown. Because at the beginning of the lockdown, I never believed for one second it was a real pandemic. But what I realized was, what I knew was, like, this is the New World Order taking control, taking charge, the New World Order making their big move. So that's what freaked me out. And listening to your podcast just really helped me keep it together, to tell you the truth. And now let's take it back. What was your red pill moment? Like, you didn't believe the 9/11 narrative, yeah, right? The mainstream narrative. There's too much crazy shit, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was actually in New York when that happened, and I was working for a company, And I always thought the story didn't make sense to me. I mean, I didn't sit there and I didn't dive into it and say, hey, you know, something, it's all fake. When they came out with the story and, you know, the passports that they found on the ground and planes were flying low, because I was in there in New York when the planes hit. And I'm pretty, I mean, it wasn't that far away. I would have seen the planes fly over, but there were just, things just didn't make sense. But I really didn't put everything together at that point. I wasn't like, holy crap, I figured it out. I just didn't believe it. But, you know, I saw what was happening. But as time went on and other researchers and other people put the information out, I started to realize, yeah, this whole thing didn't make sense. Not the way it happened, but who was behind it. See, I like to go to the source of the problem. I like to find out not, you know, who did, you know, how it was done, but who was behind it, who was orchestrating the entire thing, almost like with the pandemic. Because if you don't go back to the beginning, since you mentioned the pandemic, you don't know what they're trying to do. So when you go back to, hey, is this test for real? Does it really pick up COVID? How are they getting the statistical information? You start to see through everything that they're trying to do. So you need to go through that and find out why did they do it and how did they do it? And then it, once you start to find this information out, it starts to break down and you start to see very, very clearly that it's all a hoax, like almost everything else. And I'm not saying the virus isn't real. Yes, the virus is real, but it's not what they said it was. It wasn't the Black Plague. And I think a lot of people were afraid. And yet, you have to remember the deep state, they love using fear, because fear, what that does to you, it makes you stop thinking. You don't think logically, you're afraid. I mean, when this came out, I had friends, family, they were running to, you know, for the hills. They were like freaked out about all of this. And fear does that to you.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you were not a fan of George W. Bush or his father.
No.
Okay. It's pretty
actually,
obvious.
Go
ahead.
I think most of these people are part of, I call them the criminal syndicates, like the mafia. I think they're all part of the criminal syndicate system. And it doesn't matter if they were on one side or the other. They're all part of the same system.
I think now Obama as well, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but there's, I don't know how far you went down the Barack Obama rabbit hole, but there seems to be people saying that his mother had some CIA connections, and his grandfather on his mother's side was a CIA official or operative. Did you ever hear anything about that?
Yeah, I've heard about that too, where they spoke Russian also to be in the CIA. You go through certain training, learn different languages. And yes, I've heard this before.
So do you think there's a possibility that Obama was that one? Okay, when we need to put in the black president, boom, we got him right here. You think that was the plan?
Yes, I think these people are groomed from the very beginning. And I mean, really think about Obama. He was this no-name senator, and all of a sudden he gained all this popularity and he became president. And
yeah,
it just came out of nowhere, you know. So I think these people are groomed. They're part of the system. They make everyone think like, oh, no, you have the Republican side, you have the Democratic side, and these two leaders, they're completely opposite. And this time we'll give you Republican, next time we'll give you Democrat, this time we'll give you Republican. But it's all the same agenda. There's no difference. They're bringing us to the same exact place. So I don't see a difference with all these people. I think they're all part of it.
Did you hear about Obama when he was supposedly going to, I think, Colombia? He was actually in Pakistan as a foreign exchange student. But the conspiracy theory is that he was a foreign exchange student, but undercover CIA agent. You hear about that?
No, I have not heard about that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
I mean, at this point, do I think he's do I think he's not a citizen? I think he's not a citizen of the United States. I agree with that. He is not a citizen. He was brought in and they gave him the presidency. I do believe that. And I think maybe later on it will come out once we get rid of the deep state system. and that is destroyed. I do believe a lot of information will come out about that.
It's pretty obvious, like when you see Obama coming out and you see Hillary coming out and like the shit Hillary said, I think yesterday, like, man, everything she says is like, oh, we got to protect our democracy. Oh, this threatens our democracy. I mean, that's when you hear stuff like that, you're just like, man, this the deep state is scrambling, like you always say.
Yeah, well, I think when they say it's threatening our democracy, well, first of all, we're in a republic, but their democracy is their system. And when they say it's threatening the democracy, it's threatening their system, the way they have it set up, where they're able to manipulate the elections, the system that they put in place with fake news, big tech and everything like that. I think what everything that's going on and people waking up and people seeing the truth, this is the threat. This is a threat to their system, because once people understand their system can't operate. And I think people now are starting to understand the system and people are starting to see the system. And this is why they're so nervous and they're so panicked, because they realize if more people wake up and more people see this, they're done for. They won't be able to operate their system anymore.
Now, when you got into the podcast business, you said it was like 2013, 2014,
yes.
Right?
It so was basically, 2013.
So at that point, you were just basically ripping apart the Obama administration, correct?
I was going after the Obama administration, the wars, and where America was headed at that time. And I saw them destroying the country a little at a time.
You put out two separate podcasts a day. You put out a political one and then you put out a financial one. I'll be honest with you, all the stock market stuff, Bitcoin stuff, I have like no real knowledge of anything in that field, so I never really listened to your financial report. But tell me about your financial background. Not how much money you have, but your expertise in.
Well, I don't have any money. So let me just tell you how that came about. Actually, it was only one report in the very, very beginning. But when I was on YouTube, they started to censor the political and geopolitical report, which included the financial report. So every time they would censor it, I would just lose the report. No one could hear it. So what I decided to do is I decided to split them. So if they were going to ban one of them, it was just one of them. The other one would stay up. So I was trying everything to maneuver around their censoring algorithm, or maybe people were just censoring me. But my background is I used to work in the financial industry. I worked in the back end of the database systems for trading systems in New York. And I worked for a lot of financial companies. And I knew about the Fed window. I knew about gold and silver. And that is my background in all of that. And I still stay in touch with a lot of people that I used to work with. So I have experienced like 24 years working on Wall Street. So when I saw things happening there and I see things happening today, I can see what they're trying to do and how they're trying to maneuver around everything and how the Fed works. And that was my first introduction into the Federal Reserve. Because there's a Fed window where, you know, they loan banks money and they have a certain rate and things like that, and the Fed rate. And that was my experience back then. And then I just took that forward to tell everyone about the central bank and how evil they are and what they do, and refer it back to the founding fathers, how they never wanted a Federal Reserve or the Central Bank of America, and how it was never supposed to be like this. So that's what I talk about. I don't really talk about stocks or sometimes the stock market, but more so a bigger picture of the economy and what's happening in the economy and where the economy is going in regards to the Great Reset and things like that with currency, with inflation, with everything else that we're seeing.
Now, not only don't I know anything about stocks, in any of the financial systems, global systems, but I don't know anything about Bitcoin either. And I feel like I can't trust any of that stuff. I never got into Bitcoin. I am dealing with Ray, you know, and that I just convert it real quick. I don't invest it. I get Ray and I convert it into US mm-hmm. dollars because I don't want to play around with that kind of money. What do you think about Bitcoin and all that stuff?
I like Bitcoin. I like Bitcoin. I like gold and silver. And the reason why I like Bitcoin, because Bitcoin, there is a finite amount of Bitcoins that can be mined. And you basically know where all the Bitcoins are. And the Federal Reserve, they can't really produce more of that. So right there, that is outside of their system. They have no control over it. It's decentralized. Gold and silver, on the other hand, is physical. It is mined just like Bitcoin, and the Federal Reserve, it is out of their control. So these two things are completely out of control.
Sam Tripoli and I are coming to your town. Catch us on the road doing tinfoil hat comedy. Follow me on Instagram at tinfoil hat comedy night. February 24th, we'll be in Spokane, Washington. February 25th, we'll be in Tacoma, Washington. Go to samtripoli.com for more information and to buy your tickets. See you on the road.
The problem with gold and silver, which I do believe is a great store of wealth, that is very hard. It's very hard to use because you can't carry it around. Can you imagine carrying around all this gold and silver? It'd be very difficult. So basically, back in the olden days, what they would do is they give you a rain check, which was the dollar bill. So you would have a rain check to go collect your gold. You keep your gold in the bank and they give you a rain check, which is the dollar, and you use that out in stores and things like that. But the Federal Reserve, the central bankers, they learned how to manipulate that and how to manipulate the gold market. On the other side, you have Bitcoin, which is already electronic. It works just like our accounts today, which we have the digital dollar. But the only difference is it's not controlled by the Federal Reserve. It's completely outside of their system. So a lot of people actually use Bitcoin today because now Visa, MasterCard, they're allowing you to connect to Bitcoin. A lot of store owners now will accept Bitcoin to buy certain items. So it's really opening up right now. And it's not that hard of a switch going from the central bank digital currency to Bitcoin and using that. Because if you saw what happened out in Canada, where they had the protesters, they froze people's bank accounts for having peaceful protests. If you see what's happening with PayPal, they're going to fine you $2,500 for misinformation and disinformation. That is central bank controlled, and it's centralized, so they can control you, and they want to bring us into the central bank digital currency, and they will be able to shut people's accounts just with a flip of a switch and saying, okay, I don't like what you're saying, your account's frozen. Bitcoin is completely decentralized. They cannot shut down your account. They can't do anything to it. So I think this is why people are looking at Bitcoin and getting involved in Bitcoin, because they're starting to see the writing on the wall and they're starting to see what the true intentions are of the World Economic Forum and the central bank. And this is why I think we're going to have a battle coming up between what currency we're going to go with. And I do believe it's probably going to be gold, silver, and most likely Bitcoin.
Now, again, I don't know anything about Bitcoin. I hope it's good. You know, anything that's good, I'm rooting for it. But when I drive into downtown Los Angeles to work, there's this giant, they got these giant LCD billboards on like the top of buildings. And when you see them, like, you know, stand with Ukraine and these big billboards, you know, with the Ukrainian flag, you're like, oh, this has got to be like a deep state controlled. And then you see like, you know, BLM giant advertisements. You're like, okay, this is deep state. So I see Bitcoin ads there too. Like, oh, Bitcoin, we now accept it. And to me, when I see that, I'm thinking, oh, can't trust Bitcoin, because now you start seeing it commercialized. Like you see like ATMs, like we accept Bitcoin now. Like to me, that makes me afraid of it. Again, I don't know anything, but once you start seeing it, like banks are advertising it, it's like, oh, it got hijacked.
I think of it as a different way. Well, first of all, banks don't control Bitcoin. They can accept it. Plus, if you're in business and you're a bank, why lose business if people are dealing in Bitcoin? Plus, I think they're also preparing and they're protecting themselves as we move forward. What happens if the country, and the, like El Salvador, they're already going to Bitcoin. The president there has already instituted it. They're still using fiat, but they're still using Bitcoin. What happens when the people start to say, okay, we're seeing inflation, and inflation is continually moving up. That means your actual dollars are losing value because you need more of those paper dollars to buy the same exact item. As people see inflation and they see the currency lose value, people are going to look to protect their wealth somehow. They're either going to go into gold and silver or they're going to go into Bitcoin. They could take their chances in the stock market or maybe in real estate. But we've seen in the past what happens to the stock market when the economy crashes. We've seen what happens to real estate when the economy crashes. A lot of these things, they go down, especially if there's a bubble like they. I think we are in a real estate bubble right now. I think we're in a stock market bubble. So people are going to look for a true currency that doesn't lose value. And I think the bank and the financial institutions are seeing this and they're starting to realize, well, okay, if people are going to move in this direction, we should get involved. Why should we lose the commission rate of transferring Bitcoin back and forth? And I do believe this is also setting up a parallel economy where people can use the fiat or they can use Bitcoin at the same exact time. Actually, we had a parallel economy back in 1971. We had the gold standard dollar and we had the petrodollar system dollar. So we had two systems at the same exact time. And I think we have the same thing happening right now. And when I see banks doing this, I'm just saying, I'm looking at this saying, okay, this is going to make it a lot easier for people to transition into another currency when the system crashes. So I'll give you an example. If you go back to 2020, a carton of eggs from ShopRite was $1.79. Fast forward to today, that same carton of eggs is $7.29. So look at your fiat currency. You just lost all that value. You need seven pieces of paper right now, which is a dollar each one, to pay for that same carton of eggs. The eggs didn't change. Nothing changed except for the value of the currency. And I think what banks are doing and financial institutions are doing, they're going to make it a lot easier for people to transition away from the central bank digital currency. And that's the battle that's coming up. Do we go to a central bank digital currency where we're completely controlled? Or do we go to a system where the people actually control it? And the Bitcoin is what people control. Gold and silver is what people control. So we have two things happening at the same exact time.
Okay. That you know what? Hey, if Bitcoin is good, I just want something that's good, you know? So yeah. Thank you for the info. Now getting to the Great Awakening, and that's, to me, that's the reason I listen to you every day is because your breakdown of the Great Awakening. Now it's a huge breakdown because it's been going on for a while. So obviously there's a new world order. There's a one world government, and obviously there's deep state, and we know who the demons are. Most of them are on the left. There's a lot on the right too. There's a lot on the right, but it seems like the left is easier to corrupt and blackmail, a little bit harder on the right. Although the right, again, is there's a lot of demons on the right as well. But since it's a fact that there is a deep state and there is a new world order, I mean, there's video you can watch. George Sr. saying, it's crazy when you go to YouTube and you watch that video of George Sr. saying it's time for a new world order. He's like, brings up new world order a couple times, and they got a label. They got a label on that video that says New World Order is a conspiracy theory. On that video, it's hilarious, right? So there's a New World Order. Now the question is there a real counter? And you believe, obviously, and I really want to believe, I really do, but it's hard to believe in anything 100% anymore. Like now I'm like, I don't know what to believe, but I hope there is a Great Awakening, and that would mean that there is a counter to the New World Order. And if there is a counter, Trump has to be involved. He has to be the quarterback. There's no way there's a counter going on and Trump's not involved. Like he's like a third party or some shit. he has to be involved. So, and I'm sure you agree with that, right? He's the quarterback of the counter of the New World Order, correct? So that must have been planned. There must have been a plan. I mean, to have a counter to the New World Order, there must be an elaborate plan. What do you think, at what point did this plan start? Right when Trump agreed to run for president? And how did they know, how did they figure out how to beat the rigged election system? Like in the beginning, let's go back to like, because he had to have won for this plan to take hold, to counter the New World Order. And we know now we know, everybody knew the elections were rigged. Everybody, oh yeah, these elections are rigged, but no one knew how they did it. No one had any idea. I didn't know, but now we know. We know, like, wow, it's the machines and it's the ballots. And with the ballots, they do, there's like 10 different ways they cheat with the ballots. But it starts with the machines, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's not just the machines. I think it's the ballots. I think it's almost everything, because when you look at, and I call it their system of control. It's very, very complex, because they took a very long time creating this system, and the system is made up of the fake news. It's made up of big tech. It's made up of corporations, and I'm not talking about the people that work for corporations. It's made up of sports organizations, the Hollywood. It's the upper echelon, the CEOs and those people at the upper levels. That's all they had to get to. They just had to get to those people. Same thing in DC. They had to get to the upper level. They may be blackmail some of the lower level people, but this is, and I said this many times in my report, it's like a small town that has a mafia that's in control. The mafia is controlling the entire town. They have the newspaper, they have the prosecutor, they have the judges, they have the store owners, they have everything there. So they can control the police force, they can control everything. That's what we have in this country. And I do believe the plan that Trump, and I think he's working with the military, what they came up with way before he got elected, was to actually wake the people up. Wake the people up and show the people the truth and get people, snap them out of their brainwashing that has been happening for a very long time. And I think that's exactly what has been happening. Actually, it seems like they're actually following the plan that Andrew Jackson used back when he was running, because he thought that he was robbed of the election, and they cheated in the election. So he got the people on his side, and he was able to override the cheating, and he was able to win the second election. So I think Trump, he's following that exact same strategy, where he needed the people behind him. He needed the people to wake up. He needed the people to break out of the brainwashing. And the only way to do this is to show the people the truth, to show the people every single day the true agenda of the deep state players, what they really want to do to this country. And some people are going to wake up earlier than others. Some people, you might even have to explain to them after it's all over what happened. So everyone's going to hit that wall, that precipice, at a certain period, and they're going to say, yeah, you know what, this doesn't make sense. Some people will wake up when we're in a depression in the economy. Some people will wake up when we're very close to war. The great awakening is to wake enough people up to push the deep state, their system, out, to destroy them, to expose them. And that's what we've been going through right now. And I do believe this plan was put into place a long time ago, and it's very small steps. And everything that I look at and everything that I see, every step of the way, it's working. It's almost like when we looked at the pandemic, a lot of people were telling me, we're done, it's over, it's vaccine passports, everyone's going to get them, they won, that's it. And I said, absolutely not. This is no way going to happen. Yes, they're going to try. Yes, they're going to push it. But no way is the entire world just going to sit back and say, yeah, all right, we give. You know what? Give me the vaccine passport. You're in control of my entire life. I just give. It was never going to happen, especially with the Constitution here in the United States. That was going to be completely impossible. And look where we are today. They all backed off right now. They backed off from everything that they were trying to do. And now everything that they tried to do has been deemed unconstitutional. So that put a wrench into their plan, and now they're struggling. And it's very difficult for them because every move they make seems like it's countered every step of the way. And people are waking up to each time it's countered, and people starting to realize. Actually, if you notice, like Dan Bongino, I think you know who he is.
Absolutely.
Ben Shapiro. If you noticed, they've come out. They both took the vaccine. They were both boosted. And now they're having regrets because they're saying they were lied to. So now people are starting to wake up to that, where before they weren't awake. They were like, oh, no, no, they must be telling us the truth. They must be all in the up and up. Now they're waking up and saying, well, if I had the knowledge that I have today, I would have never taken the vaccine back then. So we were lied to. So that woke them up. They might have been woken up to other things, but now they're woke up. They woke up to that. And I think a lot of people are waking up. This is why when you look at the booster shots, it's not that there's more and more people getting boosters. It's less and less people getting boosters because the people are waking up going, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to hold back a little bit before I take the next step. And I think this is what's happening in this country. When they see the border, when they see what's happening out in Ukraine, they see the economy, they see everything that's happening. The Biden who lies, who shakes people's hands in the midair that no one's really there. I mean, or just makes up words and scrambles words. And people are seeing this. People are realizing, yeah, this whole thing, it doesn't make sense. I mean, what's going on here? And I think a lot of people are waking up. Even people that didn't believe me before, especially family members and friends, now they're just asking me questions. Now that, and that's how it starts. You just ask a question like, you know, do you think this is true? Do you believe this? And all of a sudden it opens the conversation. Now, it doesn't mean that they believe everything, but it just starts the conversation. It starts them off. And then they start thinking logically, which means they're waking up. It's almost like when you go back, I don't know if you remember this, like in the 70s, remember when these cults used to kidnap people and they used to brainwash them? And I think they had them a lot on TV, and they had to deprogram these people. And it took a while because they resisted it the entire time. The people of this country have been brainwashed. The deprogramming is happening right now. And people are going to resist it. People are going to fight it. But eventually, people are going to break out of it and ask questions. Yes, you might have a small percentage in the end where they say, what just happened? Can you explain it to me? Because they just couldn't understand that, where they fought it all the way, and they just didn't want to admit it. But I think that's what's happening with the Great Awakening, and that's why it's taking so long.
Yeah, you know, because if there really is a counter to the New World Order, in whatever meeting they're in putting together the plan, if they're not addressing the fact that most people are brainwashed, like you said, under mass hypnosis. I say that all the time. I'm like, I didn't want to like talk shit on people like publicly. So I would say they're just in a trance, you know, they're just in a trance. And I kind of meant it in metaphorically, but not really. And now, you know, Peter McCulloch and Dr. Malone, they're coming out and saying, yeah, there's this mass hypnosis going on. So if there really is a counter, that had to be addressed. Like that'd be a huge issue. Like, how do we snap people out of this trance? You can't just put out like a 6-hour documentary, release it on the internet and go, okay, that's going to wake everybody up. There's 6 hours of all the evidence of the deep state and how they're controlling the world and everything. That would never work. That would be the dumbest plan ever. There'd have to be a real plan on how to wake people up. And that's what I think is going on here. Cause when Trump lost and Biden got in, right there, and I know you felt this, right there, everybody lost hope in everything. It was like over. Like, wait a minute, Trump is just walking away, and what happened? How did Biden get in? Because everybody thought, there's no way Biden's getting in. No way. He's got too much dirt. Like, even I thought that. I'm like, there's no way. He's got too much dirt. There's no way. And then all of a sudden, he's president, and everyone's accepting it. That was a huge blow to the truther movement. Everyone scattered. Everyone scattered. Nobody believed in Q no more. Everyone's like, oh, Trump is deep state. It's bullshit. What are we gonna do? We gotta go out on the streets with our fucking machine guns. And you know, don't be, you know, it was a psyop. Q was a psyop. Everybody, you know, they just, it was designed to keep us, it's like a Bolshevik psyop. Everyone's like, we're psyop. Everybody that believed in Q that I know, everybody thinks it's a psyop now.
Sunday, December 18th, from Cancun, Mexico. Witness the first ever Combat Jiu-Jitsu World's Team Duel. Teams chose their five best lightweights to represent them in the premier Combat Jiu-Jitsu Tournament, all looking to win the $50,000 grand prize featuring 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu with CJJ World's Featherweight Champion Keith Krikorian, EBI CJJ Champion Ben Eddy, and Nathan Orchard. B-Team Jiu-Jitsu with CJJ World's Lightweight Champion Ethan Krellison, Nick Ronan, Kieran Kitchuk, and Damian Anderson. Team Alpha Male with Dustin Akbari, Trent Ebarb, Chad Mendez, and Sonya Dong. Plus, the super fight we've all been waiting for between CJJ World's Bantamweight Champion Elias Anderson.
It's Elias Anderson!
And the UFC legend making his combat jiu-jitsu debut, Uriah Faber. Which team will take home the money and the gold? Don't miss this historical night, Sunday, December 18th, live and exclusive on UFC Fight Pass.
Because once Biden got in, they go, okay, we got fooled. Man, we got PSYOP. Even today, the chat rooms that I'm in that used to be pro-Q 100%, now they're like, okay, that's all bullshit. Q's bullshit. And I don't know what to believe anymore, you know what I mean? Now looking back, you're like, oh, this is the only way to do it. You had to let Biden cheat, sting operation. You had to capture it. And you had to let people see what life would be like under the Biden administration rule. And that's the only way. Because if Trump would have won and he would have got back in, there would have been civil war, 100%. Trump had to get the fuck out. It's almost like the plan had to be, okay, they're not going to have their mail-in ballots ready because they think it seems like this is what I think. Like maybe with the machines, they could flip it. That's all they really need, machines, because generally both candidates are both deep state, so it really doesn't matter. So as long as it's close, they could flip the votes or whatever. And they thought, you know, that's how they did it most of the time. They didn't need to go through a fake pandemic to get the ballots out. So when they brought Trump in, they go, okay, perfect, Trump, he's a buffoon. Ain't nobody gonna vote for him. But then they were wrong. They miscalculated, and they're like, damn, he got in. It was almost like the plan was, we're going to get in. Trump's going to unplug everything and then dip out, capture them cheating, and then have the world see who plugs everything back in. And say, oh, look who's plugging that in. Bam. Trump unplugged the Paris Accord. Boom. They're plugging it back in. So like now looking back, if I got put in a time machine back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and I was part of this counter to the New World Order plan, it would go just like this. I would go, it has to be just like this. Get Trump in, unplug everything, have the administration do what they do well, cheat. And, you know, they had to go extra hard with the ballots. It seems like without the ballots, they weren't going to be able to pull it off. So they needed the ballots. So how do you get the ballots, the mail-in ballots? You need a scamdemic. So now looking back, you know, I feel totally different than the way I felt when Biden got in. I thought I was with everybody else. I was like, okay, we just got psyops. We just got fucked. Because everyone was like, okay, we got 2 days and, you know, 3 days until Trump is out. They're going to do the arrests at the inauguration. Yeah, they're going to do the arrests at the inauguration. Yes, it's got to be it. They got 4 days left. They have no choice. We have to get them now. If Biden's in, then it's over. And now look, you know, and when the arrest didn't happen, everybody jumped ship. Everybody jumped ship, Dave. I mean, people now, If you even mention anything about Q, all the Q heads before, they would bury you. Like, oh, you.
I mention Q every single day.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never stopped. I've never stopped.
Who do you think is Q? Like, in your just like an educated guess, who do you think it is? Trump's got to be involved in Q.
Oh yeah,
right?
Trump is, and I think it's made up of a couple people. I mean, I think it's just like in the Post, it's military and civilians. I think Cash might be involved. I don't think he's going to admit it until the end, but he might be involved. Flynn might be involved. There's
people turning on Flynn. There's people turning on Flynn. What do you think about it? You heard about that? They're thinking.
Yeah, Flynn is up and up guy. I don't believe that whatsoever. I think all these people that are out there pushing this information, they're trying to divide. That's all they're trying to do. And people trying to divide, if you're going to say something about someone, if you're going to do something, you have to show proof. You just can't say it. You need proof of something. So, you know, if you're not going to show proof, then you can't say anything.
Yeah, proof is in regards to a General Flynn being a shill, correct?
Yeah.
You need proof.
Where's the proof?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the proof? You have documentation? You have him doing something? No. Nobody has it. It's like with everything that we go through. If someone's going to say something, or if someone's going to tell you that this is true, please show me the proof. Show me the documentation. Show me recordings. Whatever you got, just show it to me. If you can't, then it's all made up right now. It's all BS. You're trying to divide. And I've said this many, many times. Just like with, people are saying, you know, Q's a psyop. Well, okay, yeah, well, it is a psyop, but it depends on which way you look at it. I never stopped reporting on Q. I never stopped. And every time people lose a battle, everyone thinks things are over. I mean, if you study war and you go back in time, do you know how many battles were lost in wars? Doesn't mean they lost the war, but just because you lose a battle doesn't mean you retreat and you give up and that's it. So when I look at things like the pandemic, or when the resident, I call him the resident in the White House, he's just living there, I see these as battles. And there are certain reasons why you need to lose. Sometimes you need to bring the enemy in. Sometimes you need to bring them closer. Sometimes you need you need the enemy to show the people the truth. Sometimes you need to switch the optics. And if you look at great military commanders, they do this all the time. An outsider might look at it and go, yeah, look at that guy sucks, that general. He just lost that battle. But he did it for a specific reason, so he could win the war. So when I look at it and I step back, and I don't like to look at things very closely. I like to look at it and remove emotions, remove everything like that, and look at it from a top view, like I'm looking at a board. And I like to look at it and say, okay, if I was in their position and I was strategizing and I was saying, okay, what's my next move here? What would I do if I was the deep state? What would I do if I was Trump? What would I do to wake people up or to do this? That's how I look at it. I look at it very differently. I don't look at these little minute little detail things. I mean, people will be stuck on these little minute details and they'll just keep going on and on and on and on about it. I look at it from a bigger picture. What's our end goal? Our end goal is to expose the deep state. Our end goal is to expose the election fraud and the system. Our end goal is to remove the swamp, which is deep and wide. And it's not just Hillary. It's not just Obama. It's much, much larger than that. When the Q Post said this is infiltration from within, and Trump actually, during the pandemic, he said the swamp is deep and wide. It is. It's very deep and very wide. And they control a lot. And the only way people would actually believe how bad it is, like you said, the people needed to experience everything. They needed to feel it. They needed to touch it. Without that, you don't believe. And that's what that's why this is all happening right now. Because to wake people up from this trance, you need them to go through the pain. It's almost like someone who was working and someone lost their job. They lost their income. They had no place to live. They have to live on food stamps. they can't survive. That person understands what it's like to lose everything. And that same person understands once they get everything back or they start something, they understand how to get things back. A person who has a job that has the same job for 20 years will never understand that person's experience. They will never understand. They will never connect. They will never know how to do anything from when you hit rock bottom.
I want that upper body clench. That's what I'm going after. With the underhook, looking for double underhooks. Fucking, that's a juicy ass clench. Perfect double underhooks. You're on your side. Boom. That's all perfect. That's huge. In my game, for me, I'm like, I got this motherfucker. First fight in Abu Dhabi 2003 against Gustavo Dantas. I got right in and got perfect double underhooks. I'm like, oh my God, I had him in a lockdown, perfect double underhook, really quick. He just gave it to me. I'm like, and I was just sitting there going, oh my God, he just gave it to me. That was just off a front headlock, 100%. Push into him, you wanna smash him and then jump on that leg. You wanna rush him so they don't have so they're off balance. You jump on that leg, you hook that leg, you're gonna take their back or put them in the truck, either one. Does that make sense?
The country right now is about to hit rock bottom. The country now is going to learn. And this is a hard lesson. The truth is hard. It's all freaking hard. And this is what people can't stand. The pain that you're going to feel. And when you feel pain, that makes you do something. That makes you say enough is enough. The guy who lost the job, who has kids, who's on food stamps, says, you know something? Okay, I lost everything. I'm not afraid anymore. I need to change something. I need to do whatever I can to make things better. That person hit the precipice. That person now, without fear, will move forward and become very, very successful. The same thing's going to happen to this country. The people who've been going about their lives every single day without, yes, they might have family problems and things like that, but without them feeling this, they would never get off their ass to do something. So this is why all of this is happening, because you have to snap the people out of it. And without snapping them out of it, they're never going to do anything. And this is why you see the crowds getting larger and larger and larger now when Trump does his rally. This is why people are looking at, and you see the poll numbers, they're looking at the Biden administration, you know, Obama in the basement. They're looking at him and they're saying, yeah, I see a lot more now. And he's not even addressing the economy. Actually, it's all fake. With the things that he's saying about oil prices, inflation, and you're not fooling us this time around. And the people now, they realize that this guy is a liar. The people that are instructing him are liars, and they can see much clearer than they have ever seen, saw the political establishment in the past. So I think moving forward, yes, people are waking up. It doesn't mean everything is going to go smoothly, because you have the other side. You have the enemy trying to shut all of this down. They're trying to stop all of this. And this is why you see the ups and downs. These are the battles. Some are won, some are lost, some are won, some are lost. But in the end, the point of it is to strategically maneuver to win the war. And we are in a war. People might not believe it, but we are.
The people that, including me, that were really disappointed that there weren't these mass arrests, now looking back, now I realize the arrests wouldn't have done nothing. If they would have arrested Pelosi, her husband, Schumer, Nadler, Schiff, it wouldn't matter. There's 10 demons waiting in line to replace them. Look what happened to Andrew Cuomo. He's gone. Yeah. They're like, oh, he's gone. Great. Yeah, he's gone. They put another demon in there.
Yeah.
So the arrests, actually, if you look at the whole picture, the big picture, the arrests mean nothing. Just like Danchenko, just like Sussman, those arrests mean nothing. Because it's not about arresting people, like arresting like Hollywood actor. What is it? Like if you arrest like some actor that was on the flight log to Epstein, what's that going to do? It's not going to change shit. We need to change the election system, the election process. Another thing that you were right. And I talk about this all the time.
About a year and a half ago.
This is big though. With Operation Warp Speed, people were like jumping ship, like fuck Trump. He's promoting the vaccines. He's so pro-vaccine. He used to be anti-vax. What's going on with him? He's all proud of it. Operation Warp Speed. And you said, I don't know where you got this information, but you were right. A year and a half ago, you said the only reason he's pushing this is so that it fucks up their plan for the vaccine passport. It's going to be too quick because their plan was to roll it out in 10 years and to drag it out for 10 years. But if we put it out now, they're not ready for it. They're not ready. They don't have the infrastructure to implement a worldwide global vaccine passport system. You were saying that. You were saying that. And I was like, man, I hope he's right. I hope he's right because this doesn't look good, man. When they put in the vaccine passports, I live in L.A. When they put that shit in L.A., that's when I told my wife, we're out of here. We went to Tampa Bay. We went to Tampa. We got a real estate agent. We were looking at stuff. We're like getting ready to go to Tampa because I went to the mall. I went to the goddamn mall and they say, you got your papers. I'm like, okay, called my wife up and go, book some tickets, get some shit ready for Tampa. We got to get the fuck out of here. The vaccine passports have arrived. And I thought, you know, that's their number one goal was the vaccine passport. That's how they're going to control us. There's no way they're going to pull it out. There's no way they're going to pull it out. But you know what? They pulled it out. It's gone. It's dead in the water. And they just can't turn it on again. All those records are gone. There was no worldwide database. So it all got trashed. You were right. So now when I hear Trump bragging about like a couple days ago, he's like, remember, I was the one who brought the vaccine out. And with all the negativity around the vaccine that's all over the place, why would he be bragging about that? So to me, he's not bragging about being the one that brought out the vaccine passport. He's bragging about killing the vaccine passport system. That's what I think he's doing.
Yeah, he countered their whole entire movement. He pretty much shut it down. That, I mean, just like now, when you look back, you go, oh, that's why that happened. When you look back in time and you see Trump saying this, you're going to go, holy crap, I see what he did here. He had to counter everything that they were trying to do and let the people make their own decision. You see, this was not, when he did it, he didn't say, you have to take this. It's mandated. Who did that? That was Biden. That was certain mayors, certain governors. They're the ones who did that. He said, here's something. And since he produced it, it countered their entire movement. The people had a choice. You can either take it or not take it. There are millions upon millions of people that decided, you know something? I'm going to hold off a little bit and I'm not going to take it. I was one of them. I don't have it. I said, why would I take this thing? It doesn't even make sense. And, you know, now people are saying, holy crap, look at what happened now with people. And I'm not putting people down that took it because, yes, people were afraid. People were afraid of their lives. People were worried about dying. And I understand that. But when you looked at all the evidence and you look at what they were trying to do, you can see his plan. You can see what he was doing because I think at that point, he had no alternative. It's either the pandemic, they went through with it. They kept us locked down for 10 years. They told us the vaccine wasn't going to be produced in about 10 years and the global economy was going to shut down. It would have been a complete and utter nightmare in this world. It would have been like a Mad Max situation. Him countering everything with this vaccine, shut down the vaccine passport, expose them all, and shut down their entire plan. So when you look back in time, that's what you're going to see. Like, now I understand why he said that. Now I understand what he did. And he let the people have the choice, but when he let the resident in, they're the ones who were pushing their tyrannical dictatorship rules on us, saying you must do what we say. And if you don't, there's going to be penalties. That's what I saw. And a lot of people are seeing that now. A lot of people, when you look back, it's much easier to see than when you're in it. I guess it's almost like Nazi Germany. When you're in the mix, you don't see it happening. When you look back in time, holy shit, I could see it all now.
Yeah, and the fact that he called it Operation Warp Speed, to me, that looking back now, I'm like, that's genius, because Operation Warp Speed is the last thing you want to call a vaccine operation. Yeah. You want to call your vaccine operation, take your time, do it right, mm-hmm. go through all the trials, make sure it's safe and effective, and then we'll take it. Not like Operation Warp Speed. Warp Speed is fictional. It's faster than the speed of light. It's Star Trek type shit. So I think just the name should have tipped everyone off. Just the name. You know, Operation Warp Speed. But
Big Pharma, they went for it. The World Economic Forum, they went for it. They thought, oh, wow, we're going to have the pandemic. We're going to have the vaccine. We're going to get the vaccine passport. We're going to get everyone in the world vaccinated, and we're going to keep them on boosters and kill off the population. They fell right into the trap. And now look what everyone is learning. Look at the European Union. They had the Pfizer representative on the stand. And the person said, no, the vaccine doesn't stop transmission, doesn't stop you from getting COVID. Actually, it pretty much does absolutely nothing. Now the European leaders are saying this is the big lie. They lied to us. Big Pharma lied. They knowingly lied to us. All these people lied to us, and now we're going after them. And I think in the end, as more evidence comes out and all these people that are suddenly dying, they're not just suddenly dying. We know why they're dying. I think there's going to be lawsuits like we've never seen before, because this isn't just like, oh, I gave a drug and there's a lawsuit, you had something happen to you. This was a criminal organization who knowingly put out this drug and they didn't tell us the truth, and they knew the truth. This is very, very different than all the other lawsuits with the drugs that they put out there, where all of a sudden they found out it causes cancer. This, they knowingly, from the 75,000 pages of documentation, they already knew this information, and they lied to the American people, and the corrupt politicians lied to the American people, telling us there's no side effects whatsoever. This is the perfect drug. And everyone just rolled up their sleeve, no matter what medical condition they were in, and they drove up in a line, and they took a drug that was out for a minute, they stuck it into their arm, and Did these people know that, will this interfere with this drug, with that drug, with the other drug, or my heart condition, or that? No one knew, but people just did it. And now those people who had conditions, it seems like it's amplifying their conditions, and people are suffering because of this. But the bigger picture is that they knew about it. They lied to the world, not just America. They lied to the world. And I think in the end, when we look back, we're going to see Big Pharma completely destroyed from all of this, because the evidence is pouring out now. And now that the European Union has started, the leaders of the EU started an investigation, this is going to be a complete and utter disaster for Big Pharma. And when you look back at the Q post, there was a post that said, listen, Big Pharma, you can tell the people the truth, you can give people the cure, or you can be destroyed later on by us releasing certain information. And I think they chose, you know, listen, we're not going to tell people cures. We're not going to tell people the truth. We're going to do business as usual. And this is going to completely destroy them in the end. But I think things are changing now, and people are seeing all of this.
For all your 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu merchandise, please visit 10thplanetjj.com/shop. We also got a Look Into It t-shirt that just dropped. Thank you very much for your support. There's three basic theories on the origins of the scamdemic. One is it came from an animal, either a bat, a snake, or a pangolin. One is an animal. One is an evil scientist leaked it from a Wuhan lab, gain of function. And then the third one is they just hijacked the flu. I believe they just hijacked the flu. What do you think?
Well, I break it down this way. Yes, do I think there's a COVID virus? Yes. Is it deadly? Not really. It's very mild. Yes, they did this in a lab with gain of function. Yes, I do believe they, I'm doing air quotes right now, leaked it out, which it wasn't really leaked. They did it on purpose to manipulate the elections and to push their entire agenda. With the flu, because of this being so mild, because of it not really having the effect that they wanted, because most of the healthy people would just, you wouldn't even know you had it. That's where that asymptomatic ridiculous thing came up, which they made up. What they needed to do is to create it. They needed to use the flu numbers and a fake test to build the idea there's a lot of cases out there to make you think that everyone is getting COVID. And what they did was, is they used the flu numbers to show, look, oh, this person's sick. They really just had the flu. Oh, this person died. Oh, they had the flu and then they might've died of something else or maybe the flu, but they used those numbers. This is why the CDC said, hey, the flu is gonna make a comeback this year. Really? You mean the flu numbers went to zero? And now that COVID is pretty much gone, nobody even really cares about it. People are saying COVID is like yesterday's news. All of a sudden, the flu numbers are going to come back. Yeah, that's because you're not using the flu numbers for the cases anymore. Everything's changed. So when the PCR test was used, it picked up. Actually, they never even isolated the COVID virus for the PCR test. They just used the flu virus, and that picked up the flu, and they used the flu numbers. And in the beginning, since people, their bodies were just healing, they weren't affected by the virus, they had to go all the way out to 40 cycles and beyond just to pick up dead RNA to say you have COVID, which you didn't have anything. So they use the flu numbers, they use the test to report the flu, and now the flu numbers are coming back and the COVID numbers are disappearing.
Now, you said that they never isolated the COVID virus.
Or the PCR test when it first came out.
Yeah, so doesn't that just, why not just hijack the flu and then just forget about the game? I think all that gain of function and those emails, the Fauci, gun to my head, I think these virology labs are just money laundering labs. I don't think they're doing
shit. Oh, I'm sure that's too.
I don't think they're doing shit. I don't think they're studying. You know who Dr. Andrew Kaufman is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Andrew Kaufman says he believes, I had him on my podcast, he believes that they're just making shit up with all these viruses. Like they just need to scare people. So they got these viruses. And he says that they didn't isolate anything. They didn't isolate the measles virus and the polio virus. Because when you go back and you look, they do these little COVIDs all the time. And it would be, if, like you just said, they never even isolated the COVID virus. So why even bother with gaining funk? Just get a corrupt ass health minister from China, put him on TV and say, oh, we got this new virus. Everyone's got to lock down. And then meanwhile, the rest of the world's got their eye on Wuhan going, damn, they locked down. But just one health minister, one corrupt health minister gets on TV, shuts down a city, Wuhan. That's all they have to do. They don't have to do no gain of function or nothing. They could just pocket that money. Just hijack the flu. That's all they did. The flu numbers disappear. And then in August of 2021, they came out. And I heard this on your show. They said, oh, the WHO and the FDA and CDC, they're like, oh, it turns out these tests we've been using the whole time can't tell the difference between the flu and right there. Why even bother with like gain of function? All you got to do is just borrow the flu for a while, right? You said they never isolated COVID.
I think the labs are money laundering operations. And I do think they were doing some type of gain of function. They created something that is pretty much harmless.
And whatever deep state scientists created that and released that, Klaus Schwab or somebody took him for a little walk and said, you know, we got the same, we spent, you know, $1 billion on this gain of function and all you gave us was flu numbers. We got to hijack the flu to get more numbers. That guy was for sure hung in a closet with some rubber bands and they took back all his helicopters and his island. Because if there was an evil scientist that created that and they leaked it, that's the average age is 81. Because in the beginning, everybody was going to die. Everyone's scared. They locked everything down. March 2020, everybody, they're going to be dropping on the sidewalk. Close your businesses. And then when the initial data came in, they go, hey, guess what? The initial data says that average age of death from this virus is 81, higher than the average age of life expectancy. Guess what? And they had four comorbidities. So then it became like, oh, you don't care about old people. It became about caring about old people. Like all of a sudden you care about old people. Like, you know, you have a grandma. What about your aunt? In the beginning, it wasn't about old people. It's when the initial data came out and it's the same data from the flu. Flu kills old people with four comorbidities too.
That's exactly what it was. It was the same exact thing.
That's the same numbers as the flu.
Yeah.
Oh man, that guy who came out, if there was an evil scientist that came out with that and the gain of, like, wait a minute, we gave you $1 billion for gain of function and you gave us flu numbers? We had to borrow flu numbers. We had to hijack the flu for this goddamn virus. You, what would happen to all that gain of function money we sent you? Hung, that guy's hung.
I'm wondering if they had to use this because they need, and it was funny because Trump, he was being interviewed and he said that they used the pandemic, which we all know, to manipulate the elections. I wonder if they tried everything possible and they weren't ready to release the real pandemic that they really wanted to release. So they just had to go with whatever they had and they really didn't have anything. And they released it and they needed to use fear to push it. So I don't think this was planned to happen right now. I think this was planned to happen years down the line, but they tried everything to get Trump out and they just couldn't do it. So they said, we can't have him win the election again. We're going to have to bring something in. What do you got? Well, I got this little cold virus. We could use that. Oh yeah, that, what we'll do is we'll build it up in the fake news. We'll use a fake test and we'll just take the numbers from the flu and make everyone think, hey, you're getting COVID and it has just so happens to have the same exact symptoms as the flu. And it's funny because when people used to tell me, oh, I lost my sense of taste. Well, you know, when you get the flu, when you really have it bad, you lose your sense of taste. I mean, it's not like it's out of the ordinary.
There's an LA Times article. Anytime someone says that, anytime someone says, because I always say this is just the flu, because I'm in the jiu-jitsu business and we're the exact opposite of social distancing. Not only are we close together, but we're physically using all our strength to squeeze and smash each other and crush. Like, the better you are at jiu-jitsu, the better you are at going through someone and crushing and smashing, sweating. Every 8 minutes, we get a new random partner. I have 150 schools. Dave, nobody died worldwide. If this shit was real, we would have been, people would have been dying all over the place. And I even asked Peter McCullough because he believes COVID is a real thing too. And I love what he's doing on the vaccine front. He's exposing the dangers of the vaccine. I love Peter McCullough in that regard. But he's also saying, and I get it, maybe he doesn't want to battle that. Like, you know, why battle whether it's the flu or if it's something legit? Why not just focus on the dangers of the vaccine? I get it. You could do that same thing with Malone. I get it. They're focusing on the vaccine and they're I get it. They don't want to go into the origins because I like going into the origins. I'm like, I'm 100% convinced this is just the flu.
Yeah.
People are dying. People die from the flu. People say, like, my aunt died. Yes, they probably died of the flu. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's why now when you go back in time and say, oh, when you used to say, like, oh, COVID's not, no one's getting COVID. Oh, yes, my brother, my aunt, my uncle, they all got tested positive in COVID. But now you can go back in time and say, yeah, but that test didn't show that you had COVID.
Because exactly.
It doesn't work to show. Basically, your family members, they got the flu.
Yes.
That's what they got.
Totally. That's what I believe. I believe that 100%.
No, I believe that too. I mean, all these healthy people that are walking around saying, oh, I got sick and I was out for the day. I mean, I don't know. I had the flu going way, way back. I was stupid going way, way back. This is like when I was younger and I was first having children and the doctor said, oh, you better get the flu shot. So I got the flu shot. It's the first and only time I ever got the flu shot. When I got the flu shot, I got the flu. And I said, well, this is stupid. I just got the flu and the flu completely knocks you out. I mean, I was in bed for like 4 days. I couldn't even get up. And that was the last time, and this is going back like 35 years. From that time, I've never taken the flu shot. I've never had the flu again. Never, ever have I felt anything like that before. So when people say, oh, I got the COVID, but I'm okay, it's just mild symptoms. You have a cold. That's what you have.
Yeah. There's an article in the archives of the Los Angeles Times. It's 1988 and it says the flu is from 1988 and it says the flu strains of the flu can take away your sense of taste or smell.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's in. So anytime someone brings it up, like, hey, you know what? I kind of understand what you're saying, but dude, I had it and I couldn't smell or I couldn't taste. So it has to be real. I'm like, no. And then I pull up the article from the archives, Los Angeles Times, right? Look at that. Sense of smell can be victim of bout with flu. That's 1988, February 21, 1988, Los Angeles Times. So boom, now what? So that's the only thing people were holding on to, you know, in regards to, is COVID real or is it just the flu? Right there, boom.
Yeah. I mean, that's why when people say that, I go, well, the flu does that too. That's why they had to make the COVID symptoms exactly like the flu symptoms.
Everything's the same. Yeah. It's exactly, genius. It's genius. Cause anytime, it seems like China, they do COVIDs all the time. They're like, you know what? Yeah. Let's shut down that city. You know what? Let's close Disney World. You know what? Let's shut down Shanghai. They're so used to getting shut down. Oh, guess what? Another strain. They got them so, used to it. This is like a normal thing. Oh, put on your mask.
Well, like masks don't work. I mean, all these people walking around with bandanas, surgical masks and everything like that. I mean, all we had to do is use basic science and say, okay, how big is a virus particle compared to the openings of the masks? So it never made sense to me when you started to look at this. And actually, if you go back to the peer review documentation of masks, it always shows that they don't stop viruses. Yes. If you're in a suit with an oxygen tank and you're completely sealed, yeah, that will stop the virus. But these ridiculous masks that everyone was wearing, they didn't do a damn thing. And this is why the Biden administration, when the Florida judge said the masks on planes was unconstitutional, if you notice, they never fought back. They never appealed it. They never said, oh yeah, we're going to prove it, because they can't prove it. If they could prove it, they would have done that.
You know what's crazy, Dave, is when they dropped the mask mandates at airports nationwide, L.A. County in LAX airport, they were the only ones that said, fuck that. You still got to wear a mask at LAX. So, and it's still that way. It's still, so it's been like that for like 3 months, and I've been to LAX maybe 10, 15 times. I'm always on the road, and every time it's fucking surreal. You go to LAX, they got signs everywhere, like LCD screens saying, wear your mask. Masks are still mandatory. They're not recommending that. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. They got every 5 minutes on the intercom, please wear your mask. And you know what? Like 70% of the people ain't wearing masks, and nobody's doing shit. Nobody's doing shit. TSA, half of them ain't wearing masks. Some are. Some TSA are still wearing masks, but half of them aren't. Nobody's enforcing it. It's so weird. It's so bizarre, because you see it clearly that they don't have that much power. There's not that they're losing their power. They can't get people to wear masks. And look at Joe Biden, like 3 months ago, declared monkeypox a national emergency. Yeah. Nobody flinched. Nobody did anything.
Nobody did anything. That fell apart as soon as they mentioned it. It didn't even go anywhere. No one believed it. And you know what happened with the states that removed the masks? Like, I live in Florida. They removed the masks and say, you know, we're not wearing masks here. That's ridiculous. All that talk about super spreaders and people are dying left and right. I went around to the hospitals. There was nobody in the hospitals whatsoever. Nobody outside, nobody inside, nothing.
Me too. I went around hospitals and filmed too. I was one of those guys. Hashtag film your hospital. I did that.
There was nothing going on. And I'm like, what are they talking about? And the news, I mean, I hear people from outside of Florida saying, oh my God, is it really bad there? I'm like, nothing's happening. Everyone's going to restaurants. Everyone's going to the beach. Everyone's having fun. I don't know what you're all talking about. The hospitals are empty. There's no super spreaders. There's nothing. Fauci just kept telling lie after lie after lie. It was ridiculous.
It was crazy. Hey, I'm going to go through these days. I know who the demons are. There's no way I'm being brainwashed and thinking someone's a demon and they're not a demon. Like, there's no way, like, Pelosi is not deep. I mean, there's no way, right? But on the right, we don't know. Like, even Trump, like, man, I want to believe 100% he's trying to save the world. I want to believe that, but you just don't know. There's so much psyops going on. So, what do you think? I'm going to give you a few people that are, it seems like they're waking up. Like Tulsi Gabbard. What do you think about Tulsi Gabbard? You think she's legit, or is some people think like, oh, she's deep state and the plan is get her to split the votes between her and Trump. She's going to run for president and then people are going to vote for.
First of all, no, there's all this talk about splitting the votes from Trump completely. First of all, Tulsi Gabbard, she would not be able to do it. That's impossible.
You think she's legit?
I think she saw what was happening and she says, enough is enough. I can't go along with this. There's no way, even if she tried to go up against him, she would fail like there's no tomorrow. Why do you think, all you have to do is step back for a sec. The people that Trump is endorsing, okay, what is his record on the people that he's endorsing?
It's a landslide, isn't it?
It's a, right. So if the people are going along with what he's saying, do you think the people are going to go, holy crap, it's Tulsi Gabbard. Let's just abandon everything that Trump did and all the people that he recommended, and let's go with Tulsi Gabbard. It's not going to work. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. The people, they see what he has done when he was in the presidency. They see his message right now. His endorsements tell you everything you need to know, because if the people weren't with him, he would have 40% believing him or 30% believing him. He wouldn't have the record that he has because people wouldn't be with him. But people are with him, and that's why they're endorsing his offensive. It tells you everything you need to know.
Elon Musk. You think he's legit?
I think he, in a backroom deal, I think he's working with Trump and the military. I think he was set out to expose Twitter and take over Twitter. And I know a lot of people are freaking out about, he's meeting with this group, he's meeting with that group, he's putting together a board. But again, step back and think about it. If you took over a company and you wanted to understand what they were doing, what they were hiding, would you make your enemies inside the company, would you befriend them? Would you say, oh yes, you know what? Let me hear your opinion. Let me see what we're doing. I would allow them and allow them to bring their guard down so I can see what they've been doing. Because him just looking at the code and looking at certain things, he won't know exactly what they're doing. It's almost like, you know, your wife, when the guy doesn't really know what his wife is really doing, even though they're living together and he thinks he knows what the way, or the opposite way. Elon is making friends, working with the enemy, because what do? You bring your enemy closer, and he wants to know what they're doing. So I know a lot of people are freaking out, but I'm waiting to see his final action, not what he's doing right now, because I would do the same thing. If I bought the company, I would keep the people. I would go to the groups that have been banning people, censoring people. I would want to see their method, what they were doing, what they're hiding behind the scenes that I didn't know about. And I would look like I was going along with them, so they would lower their guard and I can see what they're doing. And I would do the same exact thing that he was doing. So right now I feel like he's on the up and up. And I think in the end, we're going to look back and go, holy shit, I see his plan. I see what he did.
Now, but isn't he finance or isn't like Tesla owned by Vanguard and BlackRock? Isn't that deep state though?
Yeah, that is deep state. I mean, he also has contracts with the U.S. government. He also met Trump in the White House. I mean,
and he's faking. He faked launching a Tesla into space. I mean, that right there. I'm like, what is that about?
We'll have to see what happens. I mean, I think there was some deals that were made behind the scenes, and I want to see his final action. I understand what's happening right now, but I want to see what he does, because
so you're saying you're not 100% sure that he's legit. You're like 80%.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
what I said. What's happening now.
You never know, right? Like, you never know. He could be deep state. It could be.
I mean, if his final action for Twitter and everything that he's doing, if he keeps everyone off and it goes back to the way it was, you have your answer. That was easy.
But the one thing about that my count, I'm always devil's advocate. Okay. The one thing people say, like, he's deep state and it's a distraction, da da da. But the way I look at it also on the other side is, it was already deep state. Why would they bring another deep state guy?
Yeah. It makes no sense.
The only way it makes sense though, if it's to occupy your minds and distract from what's going on over here, maybe.
Yeah, but everyone's are still being censored. Everyone was always being censored. Everyone's being banned. What kind of distraction is it? Elon came in and he's going to do the same exact thing. All of us were all, I mean, I'm not on YouTube. I'm not on Twitter. Many people, hundreds of thousands of people are not on these platforms anymore. And they're still censoring. Peter McCullough was censored.
Malone?
What?
Was Malone, Dr. Malone?
I think he was too. I'm not sure. But I mean, they're continually censoring. They're not letting up. They're putting people in Twitter jail. It hasn't let up. It's not like things are okay. I mean, so if there was already deep state, if they were already controlling it, if they already had control of it, why would they bring someone else in to do the same exact thing?
Exactly. That's exactly what I think. Now, one person that is supposedly on Team Trump, but I always got my eye on him. I'm not sure about him. Is Pompeo. Dude used to be the director of the CIA, and he was like Secretary of State. Like, how do you trust that guy?
Well, I think in the Q post, it told us to trust Kansas, which is Mike Pompeo. That's Mike Pompeo.
How can you be a director of the CIA and not be deep state? How is that even possible? Is that possible?
I mean, if you wanted to find out how the CIA operated, you bring someone in like that, you become the director, then you become the Secretary of State, works with Trump. Now you know the inside workings of the CIA now, and you can use it to bring it down.
Okay.
Yeah, if you study like the, I mean, you're into jiu-jitsu, and you know, you have certain moves that you use to bring your opponent down. A move that from the outside might look like, what the hell is he doing? Why would you do that? That's not going to help you in the end. But you know, because you're trained in that yes, in the end, I will be able to crush my enemy.
Yes. I hope so, because Pompeo's one that I'm like, man, because when Trump was in office, you didn't really, you know, there was a lot of Republicans that you weren't too sure about. I mean, they seemed slimy, wasn't sure about Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham is still slime.
Yeah. And Mitch O'Connell. Right. Like, sure. Yeah. Right.
Well, I think Trump didn't know that either. And what the reason why he removed himself is because once you remove yourself, you can see the board very, very clearly. You can see, I mean, if you make the people think like, oh, I have no power, I remove myself, you could see the people's true colors. You can see what they actually do instead of what they're saying to you. So I think he removed himself to allow the resident to come in, but to see who the rhinos are, who the slime balls are, to see them very clearly. So he lost. And now I can sit back and watch them with a clear head instead of them chattering in my ear. And I can see who's with me and who isn't with me. And I think he got a pretty darn clear picture from all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Mitch O'Connell is that dude.
Yeah.
And Lindsey Graham, what a fucking.
He's a snake. He just plays sides. He goes back and forth.
Yeah. So do you think when they put together the plan before Trump announced he was going to run for president, like back whenever it was, 2014, do you think the plan, they already had it, you're going to go in and then you're going to lose and we're going to catch him cheating?
No, I don't think so. I think
you don't think they planned that far ahead?
No, I think what happened was the plan had to change midstream, because when they went in there, I don't think they realized how bad the situation was. And if you look at the Q post, there was one post where they said that the military asked Trump, how should we proceed? And the post was that things were going to change. I think he had to change direction. I think they were planning to go after everyone and arrest people and do all that stuff. But I think once he got into the White House and he saw how corrupt it was and how bad it was, I think midstream, they changed direction. I think they might have had a plan laid out like, this is option A, this is option B, this is option C. And I think they had to change direction a little bit. And this is why things started to move away from arresting and everything like that to where they were going to bring the people into the fold, get the people to see the truth. And then as it builds with the Durham case and have it continually build and show who's responsible for everything. If you notice, it's leading up to Hillary Clinton, which is then going to lead to Obama, which is then going to lead to many other people. And basically, people needed to see this moving forward. And I think midstream, I think things changed a little bit. And it doesn't mean that it changed because they were losing. It changed because the people needed to be with the military. The military needed the people to end all of this in the end. because without the people's support, the military wouldn't be able to do anything. Yes, they can go in and try to do something, but if you don't have the people, it's a loss. It's a losing situation. They wouldn't be able to pull it off. And I think Trump realized that, yeah, we're going to have to change a little bit and actually start to wake the people up and really show them who the deep state is, what their plan is, and let the people make the decision. And I think that's why the Post said that the people are going to take back the country. The people are going to regain control.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was the plan the whole time like that. I wouldn't be surprised if they just said, we're going to go in, unplug everything. We got to, they knew they had to fix the election process. Yes. So the only way to fix that, it's like, you know, the FBI busting some mafia head, you know. They know they're criminals, but they still got to put the sting operation through, and they got to videotape it, and they got to have irrefutable evidence that will win in court. But yeah, who knows? We'll find out, you know, if they had the whole thing planned out or if they had to improvise as they went along. Now, do you get into any of the Freemasonry stuff?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. That's a whole different hour or a couple hours. But what do you think about Jared Kushner and Ivanka?
People doubt them. I don't. Not one bit. I think that's just the fake news putting out information and people putting out information.
Jared Kushner and his father and his father's brother.
What story so far has come true about everything they said about him?
You know what? All I know is...
Did anyone even know that he was working on a peace deal in the Middle East?
Jared Kushner?
Yeah.
Okay. So just cause it, yeah,
I think they tried to, just like here in Florida with DeSantis, there are certain individuals, part of the deep state, that put out information to try to divide. And the way I look at it is every time I see this, it's trying to divide people. They're saying, oh, if DeSantis wins, if he becomes governor in Florida, then he's going to run against Trump in, 2024. They're trying to divide. That's their whole entire tactic. Keep dividing. Divide the party. Keep dividing. Just like in Arizona, the way they divide people in the party, what they do is Kerry Lake is running, who's running for governor. They bring in a nobody, and they try to divide the vote, and they try to get the other person in and have that person who nobody knows about run against the real person, which is the Democrat Katie Hobbs, and have that person lose. So they always try to divide somehow, some way, with Jared Kushner, with DeSantis, with many other people. But I don't think people are buying this. I don't see any evidence whatsoever that any of this is true. And there's no way that Trump would have someone marry his daughter and not check on the individual. Why, you think he's just running around doing his own thing? You don't think they know every move they make? Come on. Is everyone really serious? I mean, think about it. If you go to visit Trump in Mar-a-Lago, do you think he's standing out front going, hey, come on in? Yeah. Or do they run a background check? Do they check out who you are? Do you have to run through security just to get to where he is in his home in Mar-a-Lago? It's the same thing with Jared Kushner and the rest. There's no way he doesn't know everything that's going on everywhere, because that's how I would do it. Even if it's a family member, even if it's my daughter, it's my son, makes no difference. If they bring someone into the family, I want to know who this person is. I would check out every single thing and make sure that I know exactly, especially if I'm playing this game of war with the deep state.
Yeah. Do you said this on your show before, and I kind of believe it, that Biden might be faking all the dumb shit he's doing just to get him out of testifying in his own trial once all the laptop stuff really comes out. Is he really that dumb, or you
plausible,
think he's faking it?
What would I do? Plausible deniability. I don't have my faculties. I can't answer those questions. I mean, you don't do it at the point of when they produce all the evidence and you arrest you and say, oh, no, I'm crazy. You do it ahead of time. and you make it look really, really good. Because put it this way, he knows there's a possibility that he's going to be arrested. There's always a possibility. And I don't know if maybe there's information out there or something, but if I was going to be in this position, I would say, okay, let me look a little crazy in the beginning. Let me keep doing it just so people question me. And this way, in the end, if the evidence is produced and they arrest me, I can go completely crazy. You already know I was crazy from the beginning, and I have no idea what you're talking about. So if I was in his position, I would be doing the same exact thing.
So you now, think there's a good, there's a good,
he
might
know.
Be faking it. He might be faking.
He might be.
Because how could you be that dumb? How could he be that dumb?
Listen, he's a smart guy. He's not stupid. And he knows what he did. And if I was in his shoes and he sees what Trump has, remember, Trump has all the declassified information. He knows there's an event. He's not stupid. The people around him are not stupid. He knows that Durham is in the background doing an investigation. He knew that Hunter Biden left the laptop at the repair shop. They know that it was all real. They lied saying it wasn't real. They know the authorities, the people are seeing the information. He knows the people, as Marco Polo report came out, the people are starting to understand his business dealings. And I'm not talking about crack pipe smoking and hookers and all that. I'm talking about the money laundering and the deals that he made with China, Ukraine, and everything else. He knows they have the laptop. He knows that there's an investigation going on with Durham in the background. He can't stop it. He knows all of this. So what would you do? Do you stand there and just pretend you're okay? Or how do I get out of this if the shit hits the fan?
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like so many dumb things going on. You know, everybody knows, you know, that's paying attention knows that what a rhino is. A rhino, it means a Republican in name only. So basically they're undercover Democrats.
Yeah. Like Liz Cheney, if you notice, she's supporting a Democrat. I mean, how obvious is that?
But don't you think it would be a smart thing for there to be dinos, like Democrat in name only, where you send in conservatives, you send them, you know, MAGA people in pretending they're Democrats and trying to convince them, the Democratic Party, of doing the dumbest shit ever. You know, like, it's just from day one.
The Democrats are the deep state players. They're in line with Soros and the others, and they had to infiltrate the Republican Party, and that's why they had to bring in the rhinos. I think a lot of the ones that are, you know, the top level ones, they're the ones in control. And I think as you bring in the other people, and remember, these people aren't elected. I think they choose them. They install them. So as the deep state grew, they were able to pick and choose who they want. They don't want someone too smart. They don't want someone too stupid. They want someone right in the middle where they can blackmail them. And then they have control over them. And I think they did that with their party, but they needed to somehow, some way to infiltrate the Republican Party. And this is why they had to have infiltrators in there and basically try to control what was going on. I wouldn't be surprised if Mitch McConnell, I already know Liz Cheney is a Democrat, Charlie Crist, who was a Republican, who's running against DeSantis, he's a Democrat now. I mean, you could see it. It's clear as day. That, yeah, these people were always Democrat. They were always part of the system. And I think this is why Trump needed to take a step back and take a look at the board and all these people and really see who's who. And you can see who the patriots are because they go after them. The people that aren't rhinos, those people that are just speaking the truth, the people that are saying, yeah, let's have an investigation. Let's look at this. Those are the people they don't want. Those are the people that they go after. Those are the people that they try to get out. The rhinos, they don't touch because they already have control over them.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking, what a good idea for there to be dinos. Go the other way, you know, and infiltrate the Dems and make them do stupid
shit. That's why. I think the D's are in control and you know, they're part of the deep state system. They're all part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think? In closing, this has been an amazing 90 minutes, man. I could go on forever, but what do you think? How does this all unfold? How does it all end over the next couple years? How do you see it all going down?
Well, I think that the midterms are going to be very important. I think Trump's waiting for the midterms. I think he spent the 2 years while the resident was in the White House, waking the people up, showing the people the truth. So this way we can go up against their cheating system. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to work. Remember, this is all a plan. Everything doesn't go perfectly. But I think he knew that if we can get enough people, we can override and overwhelm the system and we can take back the House and the Senate. I think that's what he really wants to do. And I think he's trying to follow the rule of law all the way up. But I think at every election, starting back in 2018, maybe even 2016, but I think what's been happening is military intelligence has been capturing the data, watching the elections every step of the way. And the more they cheat, the more evidence they get. And the more evidence they get, the stronger their case. So this can go one or two ways. We take back the House and the Senate. Trump follows the rule of law. More information comes out from Durham. More information comes out about Hunter Biden's laptop and Joe Biden's involvement in criminal activity. They use the 25th Amendment on Joe Biden because there is four sections of the 25th Amendment. They're going to use the fourth, where all they need is the vice president and the executive branch to say, yes, we're going to remove him because we need to keep the nation safe or because he's losing it. And they just remove him. And then Kamala comes in. And that's when the fun really starts. Or if we don't get the House and the Senate, I think the military has enough evidence and the people are behind the military. People see the cheating. And this goes in a different direction where the military then steps in and they start producing evidence, compare it to the people's evidence that they've been collecting with the ballots, with the Dominion machines and things like that. And we go in a completely different direction. So I think those are the two directions that we're headed in right now. And I think Trump wants to follow the rule of law. He wants the people to override their system and take back the country. I think that's the way he really wants it.
Do you think this might be part of the plan? Like when it's all said and done, Trump doesn't run for president and DeSantis does? Because no. some people think they'd be better if DeSantis run because Trump has so much baggage already from all the propaganda that the mainstream media has spewed out and all that.
I see it the opposite way. I think people looked at the 2020 elections. He was ripped off. He didn't get to finish what he started, and they want him to finish it. And this is why all his endorsements are winning. This is why his rallies, people are showing up. I think DeSantis will have his turn, but I think it's the same people pushing the same information, trying to divide. If you actually look at the poll numbers, DeSantis is not even close. And remember, he's my governor. He's incredible here. I love the guy. He's doing an incredible job. But I think he is a template for other governors. And I think all these strong governors, once they get in, this is what's going to push the country forward. And yes, we might see DeSantis become president. We might see Kerry Lake become president. We might see another strong governor become president. But I don't think he's going to go up against Trump whatsoever. I think they're putting this story out to try to divide the voters. And I don't think the voters are even having it because you could just see from the endorsements and what people are voting for, it's not even close. It's not even on the radar. And I don't think this is ever going to happen.
Now, one final question. What sure. does X22 mean?
Well, when I was thinking about what to call it, I used X for extreme, and 22 is my lucky number and it's my wife's lucky number. So I put them both together, a little bit of luck, extreme reporting, and that's how I got X22 report.
Awesome.
It's not that great of a story.
Dave, again, provide me personally with hope. Every time I listen to your show, I feel good, man. I feel your positivity is contagious, and I'm sure you got fans and followers all over the world that feel the same way. Thank you for, like, I was so excited when you agreed to do the show. It's crazy listening to your voice. I hear it all the time. Like, man, this is like I'm listening to X22 Report, but you're talking to me. It's like a dream. I used to my alarm clock back when I used to listen to Howard Stern in the 90s. My alarm clock would be the Howard Stern show. Mm. So I would wake up to the Howard Stern show, and then sometimes I wouldn't wake up. Sometimes I'd stay asleep. I'd be half asleep and and I'd be dreaming. I was hanging out with Howard and Robin Quivers, and I was like just chilling with them. It kind of feels like that. Dave, thank you very much. I hope we do this again.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll
get updates and keep doing what you're doing, man. It's an honor to have you on, and thank you again.
No, thank you for having me. I'll come on anytime you want. No problem.
Thank you.
All right.
The Jiu-Jitsu Dojo is the ultimate training ground for life. Jiu-Jitsu will accelerate the evolution of your being, your consciousness, your soul. Through this amazing art, you will prove to yourself that you can master anything you set your mind to.
Happy birthday, Eddie Bravo.
I leave for Brazil tomorrow.
I'm Naruto Abu Dhabi.
Are you the Fear Factor guy?
I'm like 6 pounds over. Time to sweat it out.
Just imagine someone that has no idea how different your game is.
I'll tell you what this weekend was, man. It was a culmination point where all your hard work comes to like one great moment in time. You showed that you're a fucking champion, guy who goes against convention. You created your own shit and figured interesting ways to get around problems in jiu-jitsu. And shows you that great things are possible if you work hard, if you dedicate yourself and you use your creativity and you push through, your own human potential just goes up.
My 10th Planet Association has grown rapidly to over 70 academies worldwide, and their curriculums are all synced to 10th Planet headquarters located in downtown Los Angeles. I'm Eddie Bravo. I hope to see you on the mats.
You can tell it's real because it looks so fake.